God, you are amazing, and you go beyond anything we could ever fathom or hope or dream to imagine. Untamable, uncontainable. And yet you choose to make our hearts your home. You could dwell in the heavens. You could dwell in the depths. And you choose my heart to call home. Not only am I humbled by that, but I am challenged.
For us today, the word from the Lord. And I ask that as we pray for God to speak through her, that we would listen with respect to the word of God that she brings to us today. Let's pray.
Lord, you know us not just as we have been perfectly, but you see us outside of time eternally, and you know who we are, not just who we have been or who we've become today, but who we are with the blanket of eternal time, who we shall be for all eternity. Then you have called Megan, and you have chosen her for yourself. I pray, Lord, now that you would pour your Holy Spirit into her, that the words of her mouth and the meditations of her heart would be pleasing and acceptable to you, her rock and her redeemer. And I pray, Lord God, that you would change us through your words that she shares this morning. We ask this in the name of Yahweh, the Almighty, Eternal One. Amen.
Need to remember to turn on the microphone there. It's really nice that Wayne fixed mine, so hopefully it'll make it all the way through the sermon today without breaking apart or crackling or whatever. As Pastor John said, we've been discussing the Christian disciplines, and we've covered Bible study, prayer, and giving so far, and today we get to talk about the discipline of service and what that looks like in the Christian walk. If we could open up God's Word to 1 Peter 4:7-11, or you can read along with me on the screen. Cody's got that back there for me. 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word and the direction it gives us on how to live our daily lives. Father, help us today to have clear minds. Help us not to hear the words from my mouth, but the words you want us to hear in our heart from you that will enable us to honor and serve and praise you more. Lord, be with us over the next several minutes as we learn more about you and how we should walk this walk of service as a Christian. We ask this in your name. Amen. Now, I was delighted when Pastor John asked me to speak on service and the Christian discipline of it, and I was thinking to myself that this was going to be fun because there are ample biblical examples and video clips and papers and books and just so much stuff. It was like, wow, this is fantastic. But the problem was that if I were going to present even a quarter of what I procured for this sermon, you guys would be sitting here every day for the next month and a half, day and night, by the way, and then you would feel like you had just finished drinking full face from a fire hydrant. So I'm starting to understand as I'm growing here why preachers can be so long-winded, because you feel kind of like you're doing a disservice to the people that you're speaking to, because there's so much information and you want everyone to know it all, but you know, you could just have everyone bored to tears too also. And then you kind of mix in that whole talkative female thing you got going on, and this could last a really long time. So I'm trying not to go there with you so that you can actually get home and have lunch today at some point. Hopefully, I've managed to bring this sermon down to a few memorable points that perhaps we'll be able to carry with us throughout the next couple of weeks. And our goal here is to improve in our ability to serve others and as Christian servants for the Lord. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Christian service is and a little bit about what it isn't. First of all, Christian service is required. God has required us to serve. He's very clear about this. He wants us to offer hospitality. He wants us to use our time and resources and the gifts he has blessed us with. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So we should. We're being told we should. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So obviously, we're being told to serve. Service is a directive. It's not an option. We are directed to serve one another in love. None of us is exempt from service. Not a single one of us. We can all serve in some capacity. Granted, there'll be different levels of service. Some of you aren't as physically able to serve as others might be able to. Some of you cannot financially serve like others can. Some of you are younger. Some of you are older. But none of us is exempt from it. We're all being instructed and directed to serve. So, I mean, God's word is very clear about that. And none of us have ever yet reached the limit where we've served too much. So be confident and comfortable that you can just keep on serving, but you only need to use the gifts and the graces that he's given you to do that. The second thing I want to talk about is service is obedience. I'm going to relate to you a story. It's not a really nice story about me, but it's really great talking about obedience. It was probably several years ago, and it was a really busy Sunday morning. I knew I was running late. I had to get the kids ready and had to get to worship team practice. And either the youth or Wesleyan women were doing something, and I can't even remember what it was, but somehow I ended up getting sent to Giant to pick up something or another that we needed. And I don't know what it was. But anyway, I got into the store, and it was cold. It was winter. I was wearing a winter coat, and I remember I was wearing some really uncomfortable high heel boots. Guys, you know, you just don't get this. But, you know, we girls don't always get the hunting and fishing and sports analogies going on here. But anyway, my feet hurt, and I was walking into the store, and I was on a mission, okay? I was there. I was focused. I needed to get back. I was running late. I had a million and one things to do. And as I walked in towards Giant, I looked off to my right in the handicapped parking, and there was a man getting out of his car, and he had crutches. Now, you know, the kind that stick to your arm so you don't drop them. You can let go of them if you need to or whatever. And he was struggling with the crutches, and he had four of the recyclable glass milk bottles from Burn Dairy that you have to return for a deposit. And they're kind of heavy, clunky, noisy. And he was struggling with his crutches and the four milk bottles. Well, me being a perfectly able-bodied Christian person was on a mission, and I was just walking right through to the store. I was not going to go and help him. I thought, oh, poor man, as I'm making my way to the store. And I get a few steps further, and you get kind of, you know, the Holy Spirit thing going on. Megan, go help that man. I'm like, oh, man. And I stopped for a second. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go help him. I'm just going to go help him. I'm going to go help him. But then myself got the better of me, and I said, oh, for crying out loud, I do not have time for this today. I have things to do. I'm running late. So I kept on going. He's still back there struggling with the milk bottles and the crutches. I get a couple more steps, and it was like the Holy Spirit decided to perch himself on my shoulders. Megan, go help that man. I'm like, ugh! And apparently I was feeling quite cocky that morning. I'm like, you know, God, I'm running late. I've got things to do. The kids are waiting in the car. These boots are really hurting my feet. And if I go help them, I'm going to have to walk all the way back there, and I don't want to. I mean, it was just that simple. It was a temper tantrum. I was telling God, no, I'm not going to do it. And then it was like kind of like a pound down on your head. Megan, you're going to help that man. So, fine. So I turn around, and I start making my way back to the store, and I'm back to the man, and I'm just like, ugh. And I go over there, and I said to him, can I take those into the store for you? And he goes, oh, no, 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 no. You don't have to do that. I said, oh, yes, I do. I really need to. And he looked at me kind of weird, and he's, well, okay. So he gave me the milk bottles, and I took them. And as I'm walking into the store, they're clanging together, and they're kind of heavy, and the plastic handles are biting into your hands, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, this would have been really hard for him to do this. and he could have fallen, or the jars could have broken, or he could have gotten hurt, and I was just, it just slowed me down. It just took all the wind right out of my sails. That was really lousy of me to even, who was I to argue with the Holy Spirit on that one? He was telling me what to do, and I was saying no. That was so wrong. So anyway, I got the bottles into the store, and I dropped them off at the service counter, and I went about my merry way getting whatever it was. And I came back around the corner towards the end near the flowers, and I hear this man say, oh, this a really nice lady, young lady brought these in for me, and just God bless her. And I'm like, No, don't God bless me. I so do not deserve that blessing. If he had heard the conversation going on in my head as I was making my way into the store, I mean, jeepers, I didn't deserve that at all. I mean, yes, eventually I did what I was supposed to do, but I didn't do it without a fight first. And that was wrong. And it really, it's something that I've come back to a lot of times. I think I might have even told the story in my small group, you know, that's really bothered me. I didn't realize how disobedient I was until that moment. And I learned that service, that day I learned that service is all about obedience. You know, the choice was I going to do what God was telling me to do, or wasn't I? That was the big problem. Was I going to be obedient? And believe me, I've not forgotten that lesson. And who would have thought that morning when I woke up that I was going to get that lesson? So, since service is obedience, we need to keep in mind that, you know, we need to be paying attention to hear the Holy Spirit so that we know that he's telling us to do something. But then when we hear it, we need to heed it also. Now, if you know the Holy Spirit is calling you to an act of service, it is your obligation to obey. If you can identify the need and you know how to fix it, then you need to do something about it if you know the Holy Spirit's calling you to do it. The third thing I want to talk about is service is a sacrifice that glorifies God. Now, another lesson that I learned that day at the grocery store was that service is about sacrifice. That day, I almost refused to sacrifice my personal agenda for the greater good of another person in need. My sacrifice that day was was putting down my agenda and doing what the Holy Spirit was directing me. Now, when you put down your agenda, you are putting God first. You are following the example of Jesus and serving others. Now, service, it isn't about giving glory to us. It is about giving glory to God. That's what true service is. If we are doing a service for another person and expecting something in return for what we have done, then we aren't doing it for God's glorification. I'm going to say that again. If we are doing a service for another person and expecting something in return for what we have done, then we aren't doing it for God's glorification. That day at the store, I didn't do what I did for my own glory, as you know. I did it because God told me to do it, and it cost me something. Not really all but a minute or two in the grand scheme of things, but it was a sacrifice. Sometimes the sacrifices we have to give to glorify God are great, and sometimes they are small. Quite often, the smallest sacrifices that we make as an act of service to another person are the greatest benefit to that recipient and one of the ones that give the most glory to God. It doesn't have to be big to give glory to God. Now, the next point I'd like to make is that service is contagious. You can set an example that goes on and on through your acts of service, and you never know how God is going to use that act of service to change the lives of others. Now, Cody is queuing up a video clip for me and Beck that I want to show you about one woman's act of service and how it changed the lives of random individuals throughout her life and how it grew to help so many other people in such a tangible way. And it was all because one woman set the example that was contagious. Go ahead, Cody. Is this one? It's on the other side. Okay.
I didn't know what she was thinking, but all of a sudden she just says, stop the car, and she gets out of the car and she goes over and gives this young man her hat and mittens. I just wanted to sink through the floorboards because I didn't know what she was doing, and at 16 you're so embarrassed when you're when a member of your family does that. And then when she passed away, my sister-in-law got up at her funeral and talked about my mother being with her and saying, stop the car, and she gave away her mittens that day. And then after that, I found out that she had done it. She did it with Rosemary. She did it with other people in the family. And then it was like, well, now we know why she never had hats and mittens, because she was always giving them away.
Okay. Off her own back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, always she, somebody who needed them more.
Yeah, if she saw a need, that was her thing. One day I guess I was thinking about my sister-in-law, and then I thought about the story she told at my mom's funeral, and I started to gather some supplies and kind of think maybe this is something we could do. And I had some patterns and did some research about different companies. And
they had a parade.
I talked it over with different people in the family, but I just never did anything about it. I was just kind of, oh, I got a great idea, but I'm so lazy. And one day Christine called me up and said, you know, we were talking about this.
This is your niece?
My niece, yeah. One of my mother's granddaughters. And she said, you know, we were talking about this, and I need a project for this. I don't know if it was a course she was taking or what. Mm-hmm. And she said, would you mind if I used your idea? And I said, no, I haven't done anything with it. You should take it and run.
I told her I had to turn in name ideas. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck on Ethel's Mittens, and I couldn't even think past it. And she started to cry. She said, when I was a kid, and she told me the story of my grandma giving away her mittens, and then that was it.
What was it about your mom, do you think, that made her just stop and give her mittens and hat off her own back?
My mother couldn't stand to see anybody cold or hungry or hurting. She just, it would literally make her cry. She couldn't stand it. And so my parents, actually both of them, would often do things for people that you wouldn't think about, you know. But my mom in particular just really couldn't stand to see anybody be cold. She was the type of person who could look at somebody else and see what their need was, and she always kind of felt that if you could see the need, you had an obligation to try to do something about it.
Tell me about how these family gatherings usually come together. Well, what does it usually become? Who's doing what?
Some people are sewers.
Yeah.
And Rosemary's a workhorse. That woman can put out so many hats and mittens in a day. She makes the rest of us look terrible. Christine and Wendy and sometimes Katie are our cutters, and we communicate to them what sizes or whatever we're thinking we need.
So the kids also have...
Oh, and the kids help. All the kids help. Sometimes they come down and cut or sew. Some of the little ones want to learn. Somebody has to cut apart the labels, and somebody has to keep track of where we are.
Are you going to make girl ones right there, Mom?
Yeah, should we make girl ones next?
Yeah.
You're not related.
Nope.
But do you feel like your family?
Absolutely. This family is almost as crazy as mine, so I feel right at home.
Why do you do this? Give your time like this.
It's an awesome idea. Happy to support it. It's easy for me to donate my time because I love to sew.
How great is the need?
Huge, huge. Every time we help somebody, we hear from somebody else.
Brought you some presents.
Especially with the economy the last couple of years, I think just before last Christmas, my sisters and I were talking about how hard the Christmas was going to be for so many people. And then this year it seems worse, so much worse. And even in our small community, we have like foreclosures and so many more people needing to use the food shelf. And, you know, I think as long as we all have a warm home and clothes and food, then, you know, we need to be doing something for somebody else.
And it's such a simple thing that you started, right?
I think that anybody could do this. And if nothing else comes out of this, if a little seed gets planted in somebody else, like the way my mom planted that seed in all of us, and somebody else in their community sees a need and can do something about it. It doesn't have to be huge, you know. It's just, it can be small. But it starts something. And I think every act that you do plants a seed with somebody else, and it can grow. You know, it really can.
So service is contagious, obviously. Who would have thought that one woman's quest to make sure that people who needed hats and mittens would end up clothing so many people who needed hats and mittens? Now that's one big example of service, but remember that service started out very small with just one woman seeing a need and filling it. Now, it grew big, but a small act of service is something that can be just as contagious. Also, we saw in the video that this contagious act of service was put to use the talents and the gifts and the resources of the ladies and even the children involved. As 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Our job is to serve God with our talents and gifts and resources, and service is contagious. Now, I wanted to say here that I think that North Park is a church that does well at serving. I know this because my family has been a recipient of that service countless times throughout the 15 years we've been here. Meals being brought to us when my husband had cancer, people faithful about bringing food to us, people watching the kids, being there for me when we lost our baby, being there when I had surgery, just so many different ways that people have served my family, and those were all to the glory of God, and they might not seem big to the people who are sitting there out there today, but they were huge to me, and I'm sure they were huge to God. Match so many faces sitting out in front of me right now with an act of service that was done for me or my family that I'll never forget, and I am truly grateful for that. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it, because when you step out and you serve another, you are showing God's love through your hands and your feet. Now, maybe some of us are sitting here and perhaps we're feeling the Holy Spirit perched on your shoulder telling you to do something. There are many things that you can do. All you really need to do, first of all, is be intentional about looking for opportunities to serve another person. Now, I understand, granted, you can be limited in the way you can serve, physically, financially, or otherwise, but there are a lot of things you can do that are small, that have huge rewards and a huge return. The first thing you can do is pray. Anyone here can't pray? We can pray. It's not expensive. It costs a couple minutes of your time, but it can make the biggest difference out of anything you can do. That's the biggest difference right there. You can send a note or a card, a letter of encouragement. That's an act of service. You can hold a door for someone. Now, going in and out of the post office to go to Leo's office, a couple times a week, inevitably someone holds a door for me because it's a busy place, and I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate it when I'm carrying in a case of paper because they need paper and it's really heavy. So, you know, hold a door for someone. That's an act of service. You could put a shopping cart back, you know, like when you're at Giant and there's that big backup of them when you're trying to go out the outdoor that Pastor John really hates. If you put your cart back, you're serving him and all the other people that are aggravated by that backup of carts when you're trying to go out the door. Another thing you could do is you could let someone go first at the stop sign or through a door. And who doesn't have arms? I think everyone in this room has arms right now. You can give a hug. Or you can hold a hand when someone's hurting. You don't even have to always say something. All you need to do is hold a hand. Now, there are many service opportunities within our church. A couple ideas for that would be for the Ignite Cafe setup. That's a lot of work. That was for you, Marty and Scott. Tear down is a lot of work too. Amen again. I didn't realize how much work it was until the other night when we came over while they were setting up. That's a lot of work. If you've got a couple spare minutes, check with them. It's once a month to bring all these games over and set them up and tear them all back down and put them away. And it's a lot of work and decorating. And you wouldn't believe the amount of work that goes into it. I didn't believe the amount of work that went into it. Another thing you can do is help set up or take down after the monthly potlucks. You know, we have them all the time. No, it's not a glamorous job, but it needs to be done. And there's other things. You can ask Pastor John or one of the LVA members or trustee about things you can do to serve around the church. I'm sure they can come up with something that you could do. But you know what? You might be sitting there saying, you know, I really don't like doing these things. Well, guess what? That's what makes it true sacrifice. That's for the glory of God. If it's giving up your free time and your comfort to do something for someone else, it's a true sacrifice. And that's the idea. No one ever said you were supposed to love it. He just said you were supposed to do it. And, you know, you might find out you have fun doing it. I mean, yes, setting up for Ignite is a lot of work, but I enjoy the time that of the people that I'm with, and you end up actually sometimes having a lot of fun, more fun than you thought you would. So this week, I'm going to challenge everyone, including myself, to look purposefully for opportunities to serve others for the glory of God. It's going to be a challenge, but you need to remember that God has instructed us to serve. He's told us to do it. We need to do it. We need to be obedient. As you go about this week, be mindful of the Holy Spirit and pray that you'll hear him. Ask, you know, that he will open your ears and you will hear him asking you to do the things he wants you to do and that you will heed it. He can ask. It's your job to say yes. And service is about sacrificing for the glory of God. It might not always be easy and it might not always be fun, but it should always be for God's glory. And lastly, remember that service is contagious. Remember, you are setting an example that can be highly contagious and make a difference that you cannot even begin to imagine. Let's pray. Father God, help us this week as we walk out of these doors to remember your instructions to serve.